98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Everything you need all in one spot every day at 4 o'clock. We call it the 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo Show. The top stories of the day and our reaction to the top stories of the day from the Super Bowl. On the NFL Network last night, LaDainian Tomlinson said he thinks when it's all said and done, Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray is going to go number one overall in the draft.
I think he's going to be the number one pick.
The number one?
I think he's going to be the number one.
The Arizona Cardinals are going to take him?
Just watch.
Arizona Cardinals are not going to take him.
How good do you think he's going to be?
Did somebody just get fired in Arizona?
I think he's going to be really. Yeah, but.
Yeah, Steve Wilkes.
Remember who they brought in? This kid recruited. Cliff Kingsbury recruited Murray.
And?
Okay.
Dion and Chris Rose trying to talk LaDainian Tomlinson off the ledge a little bit.
I think he was initially saying to say someone's going to trade up for him. I think he was going there, and then they pushed the Cardinals, and he just went with it. He was getting bullied.
Hey.
I think he was originally going to say, listen, somebody's going to go up and trade for that kid, but then they just went Cardinals.
I think you're right. And LaDainian, we need to live in a bully-free world, so don't let those guys bully you, okay? But I do think you're right. I think he was saying someone's going to take him number one, and then he kind of got bullied into saying it was going to be Arizona. But interesting to see, because it's not a mock draft, but it is the first person we've heard come out and say that right now, that they think he's going to end up going number one when it's all said and done.
Wow. I mean, and that's what we've been. At some point, if he gets the number one, that's good news for the Cardinals.
Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics are in New York tonight to take on the Knicks. Kyrie, along with Anthony Davis and Kristaps Porzingis and LeBron James, in the crosshairs of the news this week. A lot of speculation that Kyrie might not commit long-term to Boston this offseason. His response to that?
At the end of the day, like I said, I spent the last 8 years trying to do what everybody else wanted me to do in terms of making my decisions and trying to validate through the media, through other personnel, managers, anybody in this business, and I don't owe anybody.
I don't owe anybody bleep. He then later said, you'll know on July 1st what my plans are.
It's a guy that just clearly doesn't really know what he wants to do and doesn't want to give an answer right now. And you know what? You have that right. You don't have to give an answer right now. You shouldn't be forced to give an answer right now. If you're happy and you feel like Boston's taking great care of you and Boston's saying we can go get Anthony Davis, then maybe you'll stay. If not, then maybe you'll leave. Maybe you'll want to play in New York. Maybe you'll want to be a big star in New York and try to deliver them their first championship since 1973.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a challenge to him.
He said, quote, ask me July 1st, close quote, when asked if he was reaffirming his commitment to the Boston Celtics in light of all the rumors. Speaking of rumors, this is an interesting one. Chris Russell from 106 The Fan in D.C.
I have been told all along that Arizona was a team that he had wanted to go to, but they dumped out Goldschmidt. They dumped out A.J. Pollock, who's a free agent. They seemingly are rebuilding, but Bryce had wanted to go there.
Yeah, he is Bryce Harper. Now, you checked around, and what did you find out about this?
Diamondbacks have never heard any such interest from Bryce Harper, from his agent, from anybody associated with Bryce Harper. If he was interested in playing for them, he certainly, nobody in his camp ever contacted the Diamondbacks and expressed an interest to play for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
But our top story of the day.
Cheatham saves it inbounds. Dort runs it down. Gets it to Remy Martin. Six to shoot. Martin will shoot the three. Martin will hit the three. It was almost like an afterthought for Remy Martin. He didn't realize the shot clock was winding down. Bobby Hurley pointed it out, and Remy from NBA range drained it. He's got 15 points. Dort heads up court, passing ahead to Remy. Martin will shoot the three. Bullseye! Who's in charge now? Remy Martin is. Out to Martin between the circles. Martin fires away and hits from downtown. 28 points for Remy Martin.
And for the first time in their last seven tries, and for the first time in the Bobby Hurley era, ASU beat U of A in men's basketball.
Hubba hubba.
Hubba hubba, Tim. Hubba hubba.
Fun game. I mean, fun game. Exciting game to watch going overtime. I mean, Arizona, you know, short without Brandon Williams and then Dylan Smith fouling out late in that game. I mean, they battled hard. The Coleman kid was fantastic. You know, the Luther kid, they were knocking down threes. They were staying in the game. They forced overtime. ASU had a chance at the end of the game. 19 seconds left. Had a terrible possession off of a timeout. Got off an awful shot. But once they got to overtime, I mean, they dominated that overtime. ASU just dominated the overtime. And U of A, you know, actually had the ball. The ball went out of bounds on the last play. And I was thinking, man, if there's a second and a half left, because I thought the ball may have hit the end line, but it didn't. So it was only 0.4 seconds left, so they really couldn't get off a good play. But if there had been a second and a half, they might have been able to just get some kind of decent shot off. And that would have been an upset if Arizona would have won that basketball game. They didn't have much size. But I thought the Remy Martin was fantastic. I thought Cheatham was fantastic. 22 rebounds for this kid. He's just killing it right now.
56 in his last three games. 56 rebounds in his last three games. He had 22 last night to go along with 11 points. Remy Martin, 31 points, and how about this? 8 assists to only 1 turnover. That's a hell of a ratio right there. Those two guys dominated overtime, and now Bobby Hurley can finally say he's beaten U of A. Now, as we said earlier, look, if you're a U of A fan, you probably look at this and say, man, this is one of the worst teams we've had in a long time, and you barely beat them at home in overtime. Right. Don't worry. We'll see you next year. We'll see how things go next year.
Next year's gonna be
much different.
We got
a couple 5-star. Right. And if I were a U of A fan, that'd probably be my retort. But for now, this is exactly the kind of win they needed to get the monkey off the back, to continue them on that path of getting in comfortably to the NCAA
tournament.
Save
Bobby Hurley from doing more sprints, you know, gassers. No, it was a big win for it was going to be a big win for either team, to be honest with you. I mean, Sean Miller's right now. They're going to have to run the tables in the Pac-12 tournament to get in. There's talent on that U of A team.
Yeah.
Very capable of beating teams in the Pac-12. But it does seem like ASU has a good combination of guard play and an inside play. Remy Martin was just sensational last night. Dort, I didn't think Dort played very well. For the most part, I didn't think he played well, but I thought, you know, Romello White did a nice job
Rob
inside. Edwards had a good game. I mean, he can flat out score, and he's a good free throw shooter. And then Cheatham, I mean, what can you say? I mean, just dominating the boards the way he did.
Zylan Cheatham called Bobby Hurley a lunatic after the game.
He's really a lunatic. Like, I don't think you guys understand. Like, he's really crazy. Legit.
And here's the reason why. Before yesterday's game during shoot-around, he gathered the team at the practice floor. And if you haven't heard the story yet, it's so funny. And he handed each of the players a piece of paper before the game. And he said, okay, here are all the games that we've played against U of A since I've been here. And look at the margins of defeat. For every single point that we've been beaten combined, I'm going to run to the opposite baseline and back. I'm going to do a gasser. For every single point that we've been beaten, for every margin of victory, I'm going to run one gasser. In one of the games alone, U of A had beaten ASU by 38 points. He ended up running about 90 gassers yesterday,
which they figured was over a mile. It's over a mile in gassers.
Here's Zylan Cheatham after the game talking about how Hurley's a nut.
The year we lost by 38, he ran 38 lines, and he ran a total of, I want to say, like, probably 100. I don't even know. He's just sitting here just running. And we're all on the sideline clapping and cheering him on, and that was pretty much his message to us. So he's a nut.
Did he say the reason why he...
Yeah, the suffering's over. He's going to suffer one more time, and he's going to go through what he's went through in these last couple years, and he said it stops tonight.
After the game, Bobby Hurley said, I'm exhausted. Well, yeah, you're exhausted. You just ran a mile. You ran a mile before the game. And he said to reporters afterwards that was in addition to the three-mile run he went on in the morning. And the Peloton work he did at home before he went into work as well.
I love it.
So,
stay active.
So
move that body.
He's just working his tail off.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah,
Bobby, you're not a young man anymore. You got to stay active.
Cheat him, calling him a lunatic.
He's really a lunatic. Like, I don't think you guys understand. Like, he's really crazy. Like, legit.
But I think understand.
He is.
We see him on the sideline. He's a lunatic.
Right. Which is so polar opposite of Herb Senbach. Remember Herb Senbach? Remember Herb?
Yeah, of course I do.
I thought that might have been a foul official. Can you? I thought
Herb.
It was fouled.
Poor Herb.
You didn't think it was a foul? Okay, no problem. I'm going to go back over here now. Thank you.
I have not heard.
Emotionless Herb Senbach.
I have
Senbach.
Not thought about him in years. I swear, I have not thought about Herb Senbach in years. It's like, oh yeah, Herb Senbach. I remember that.
I thought that ball was out of bounds. Oh, no, you didn't. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Official.
Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast?
Those are nice shoes you have on.
Please do. Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show.
How's your wife and kids?
We'll deliver it to you digitally. The Burns and Gambo podcast brought to you
this
week.
Would you like a bottle of water?
By AutoNation Chevy. We're just 2 days away from kickoff in Super Bowl 53, and yet something else has overshadowed the biggest game in sports. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. The stars aligned. It's the perfect storm. Whatever cliche you want to use.
Man, this week. The perfect storm. That was a movie.
It was.
I think I saw that.
George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Out there on the boat.
They died.
Spoiler alert. Yes, they all died.
They all died.
If you didn't see The Perfect Storm yet, they all died at the end. The NBA, this in what's supposed to be the biggest week in the world for the NFL, and the NBA kicked their rears this week.
But it's been every day. I mean, every day it's like the drama. I mean, Anthony Davis has demanded a trade. And where is he going to go? Is he going to go play with LeBron at the Lakers? Is he going to play with Boston and Kyrie after the season's over? And then the Knicks trade Kristaps Porzingis to the Mavs with Luka Doncic to clear up space. Space for who? Oh, maybe Kyrie's not going to stay in Boston and play with Anthony Davis. Maybe he's going to go to New York and play with Kevin Durant. Or maybe he's going to play with Kemba Walker or Kawhi Leonard. And then it's just Lonzo Ball could be on his way out if L.A. does make a trade with New Orleans. And the Suns like Lonzo Ball. And it's just there are so many moving pieces. And to me, it's real simple. You've got major, major markets in play here. L.A. trying to get Anthony Davis. The Knicks clearing cap space for big players. And the Celtics, can they hang on to Kyrie and add Anthony Davis? Can they just keep Kyrie? Do they not get either one of them? Do they lose Kyrie and not get Anthony Davis? Boston, New York, L.A. Big basketball cities. And then big names.
Kyrie, Kevin Durant. Anthony Davis.
Porzingis.
LeBron,
big name. Big names, big cities equals lots of talk and lots of interaction about the NBA.
I mean, look, when the game comes on Sunday, that'll be king. Right? And nobody disputes
that. Yeah, we'll stop everything and turn our attention to that.
And nobody disputes that the NFL is still king when it's all said and done. We all know it. It's just been, I at some point today, getting ready for the show, I just realized, man, every really red hot topic we've talked about all week long, everything that's made news all week long has been NBA centric, NBA themed, and it's been like I said, the perfect storm. If you look at the NFL, the biggest stories of the week were Roger Goodell and Sean Payton's shirt. There's been no defining storyline from this game.
Nothing.
Other than the, okay, is the young
Jason Garrett.
Yeah, the Jason Garrett in Dallas, but the old coach in Bill Belichick, the young gun in Sean McVay, is this a passing of the torch? Blah, blah, blah. Tom Brady, Jared Goff. I mean, you've had a little of that, but the real compelling stuff, the real soap opera type stuff, has all come out of the NBA. And I think it's been, now, you asked the question earlier. Is it for the right reasons? And I don't know if I know the answer to that. I don't know if this has been a good week for the NBA. I know they've gotten the lion's share of attention all week long, but I don't know if that's a good thing for the NBA based on what the attention is about.
I think that this is all a shifting of the balance of powers within the structure of five teams that are usually the power brokers, you know, for the most part. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Although the Dallas play is interesting, I mean, it really is. And I know they won a championship not too long ago, but that's interesting that they're in on it. The reality is a small market team is going to lose Anthony Davis to probably a large market team. And that's the part that sucks for the NBA. You're going to take and it's not Anthony Davis's fault. He spent 7 years there and they didn't win. I don't blame him. But a small market team is going to lose a star player to a big market team. And some big market team is going to build a dynasty. It could be the Knicks, could be the Celtics, could be the Lakers. Somebody's going to build something to kind of combat what you've got going on in Golden State. You're going to see that. Somebody's going to end up with two mega stars on one team. Could be the Celtics. Could be the Lakers. Could be the Knicks. I don't know which one it's going to be, but it's going to be one of those three.
Yeah. We had Mark Stein on the show earlier, and he said, look, these NBA trade rumors right now, they just have a bigger reach than the Super Bowl does.
The Super Bowl, no matter how big it is, yes, it is a national holiday, but only two teams are in it. Only two fan bases are really, really invested in it, whereas something like the trade frenzy that we seem to get every February in the NBA, you know, that's everybody's involved in that. Every city's in it to some degree, and so it just has a bigger reach.
Here's what's funny. It happened even to
you buy in that?
What?
That there's only two cities that are really involved in the Super Bowl? I mean, aren't we all like Super Bowl parties and squares and
there's three. The two teams and then the host city.
Yeah. I do buy that. I think if you don't have a rooting interest in the Super Bowl, I don't know if you really pay that much attention to it during the week until the game. Yeah, I believe that.
Okay.
Unless something happens. Unless there's something that happens as a storyline during the week that causes you to pay attention to it. I do. I agree with that. Then unless you're the host city, or unless you're a true diehard fan of either one of the teams in it, I don't know if you pay that much attention to Super Bowl week until the actual game. You know, we do for a living, we do, because we're looking for things to talk about for 4 hours every day, right? We're looking for angles and storylines and hooks and what people are interested in hearing about. But if you're a fan, and I'm not a fan of the Rams or the Patriots, I don't know how much I'm following
this. Just wait till Sunday.
Yeah, kind of.
Wait till Sunday, going over somebody's house. You bring in the buffalo chicken dip and you're ready to go. Okay,
It happened to us today on our show. We were going to do a segment about the Super Bowl.
Right.
And at the very beginning, you got some news about the Suns that once again was quintessentially what we've just been talking about for the last few minutes.
I had to leave you on the show by yourself and take a call. And, you know, we've got a story up on ArizonaSports.com right now, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. But it goes back to the 2017 draft. And Porzingis and Josh Jackson and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, we're going to talk Super Bowl, and all of a sudden we get some information that is kind of relevant to, team here.
Let's just talk for a second about what the information is.
The information was Woj, and guy's like, do you just try to prove him wrong? I'm like, no, the guy's great at what? I don't even know the guy. He put out information that the Suns turned down an offer of Porzingis for Josh Jackson. I believe that's what he wrote, right? He said the Suns.
He said it in a podcast.
In a podcast that the Suns could have had Porzingis, and they turned down an offer that would have had that would have gotten the fourth overall pick would have been Josh Jackson.
18 months ago during the 2017 right. NBA draft.
It's inaccurate. It is inaccurate. The Suns offered a hell of a lot more than that for Porzingis, and the Knicks turned it down. The Suns did offer the fourth overall pick. And they offered one of Miami's first-round picks and Miami's other first-round pick and a player to get Porzingis, and the Knicks said no. So the Knicks act, and one of the Miami picks was the unprotected pick in 2021. So the thing is that, like, that was a story. I had a lot of people asking me about it. It's a big story right now that the Suns could add Porzingis, and the answer is no. The Suns made a big play for Porzingis. They offered the number 4 overall pick, 2 Miami first-round picks, and a young player, and New York said no. We're not interested.
Yeah.
So
that was 18 months ago, summer of 2017, right around the time of the Josh Jackson acquisition. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Comedian Jim Jeffries coming to Celebrity Theater on his Night Talker tour Saturday, February 9th. And we're giving you the chance to win tickets. Head to the rewards page at ArizonaSports.com to enter. And for complete details on tickets and show info. Everybody's wondering what the Knicks have in plan after trading Kristaps Porzingis, what the Knicks' plan is after trading Porzingis. What's the next domino to fall in the NBA? Something we'll talk about next on the Burns and Gambo Show. All right, let's loop Sarah back into the show and get an update on our Twitter poll for today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
Should I ask Stacy in accounting out on a date? Is that the
mom? Stacy's mom.
Only if
she's
got it
going on.
To, but no for Gambo.
No, it's an old joke from earlier in the show.
Well, I thought Stacey's, we had a different Twitter poll question.
Do I look like I have anything higher than a middle school education? Wait,
what,
wait. Play
our options.
Gambo actually said those words earlier in the show. Play that for me again, please.
Do I look like I have anything higher than a middle school education?
Yes or no?
Is that the poll question?
No, it's not, but it should.
You can put it up there. I don't care.
The third option is just a silent stare.
Yes. Does Gambo sound like he has anything higher than a middle school education?
It's been a crazy day here.
I get a couple of people that say yes. I have some street smarts with me.
I'm a happily married man. I'm asking Stacy in accounting on
oh, my
a
God, I know.
You're asking people whether you have better than a middle school education. It's
what a Friday.
Been a wacky Friday here on the bus. Just wacky.
Well, the answer for mine is I don't. The answer for mine is no, I'm not going to ask Stacy in accounting out. First of all, we don't even have an accounting department here. There's no one named Stacy there. And I've been married for 24 years, so no, I'm not asking her out.
But he is asking a mom out.
Stacy's mom's got it going on.
Oh, she does.
Sarah, what's the poll question today, please?
Yeah,
oh, my God. We got. When is it 6 o'clock? Seriously, this show has just gone off the rail tracks.
An hour and 27 minutes from now. Yeah.
Just 90 minutes from now. All right, guys, let's look forward to Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. What are you going to be rooting for? 36% say they want another Patriots championship.
Oh, God.
Just
shoot
behind
me.
Them, 35% say they want some high-flying Rams offense. So that's not bad, right, Gambo? And then 29% voted for the commercials.
That's stupid. The commercials are dumb.
Well, I'd probably vote for the commercials at this point.
I'm not watching the Super Bowl for the commercials.
No, but who to root for? I don't know who to root for. I don't. I know you need someone to root for.
I know it's very
easy for you this year. It's hard for me this year to say, who am I rooting for? The Rams are a division rival of the Cardinals. They're an L.A. team. I don't mind watching them play. They have a fun brand of football. I don't know if I want them to win, though.
Yeah, but didn't you have some theory about you wanted Sean McVay to win the first playoff game because it's a good indication of if the Cardinals hiring of Cliff Kingsbury?
If the offensive guru wins the Super Bowl, then it sure does reflect well on the team that just hired an offensive guru to be their head coach.
Right.
So.
And aren't the Rams at the lower end of the pecking order of NFC West hatred?
Not they're at the low end of the pecking order of NFC West hatred, of Los Angeles professional football sports team hatred. I mean, the Lakers, the Dodgers, the Kings, the Rams are somewhere down there, like with the Ducks or
the LA Sparks.
The LA Sparks. They're not USC. They're not the Lakers. They're not the Dodgers.
The Clippers. No one hates the Clippers.
No. The Rams are right there with the Clippers.
Right.
The Chargers.
It's like, does anybody hate the Brooklyn Nets or they hate the Knicks? You know, I don't hate the Rams yet. I mean, I'm sure I can grow to hate them, but I don't hate them yet.
Yeah. All right. So the NBA, as we just got done talking about in the last segment, they've had a really busy week, taking all of the lion's share of attention away from the NFL this week, and rightfully so. There's been a lot of stuff making news. The trade, the Kristaps Porzingis trade, complete, done. Our friend Kevin Pelton over at ESPN handed out his post-trade grades. He always does this for ESPN.
Gave the Knicks a B.
And he gave the Mavericks
a C-.
Gave him a C-.
And let me just tell you why with what he said about the Knicks. You know, he talked about just getting rid of those expiring contracts and freeing up potentially $70 million of cap space this year. The ability to go now sign Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant and, you know, could be a precursor for a run at Anthony Davis. Just that they put themselves in a great position to go be a big-time player. That doesn't mean they're going to get him, but he likes the fact that they at least put them in a position. With the Mavericks, you know, they say it's a gamble because they're betting that Porzingis will get back to full strength after last year's ACL injury and stay healthy as well, re-sign in Dallas for the long term. So the reason he gave him a C-minus is basically just kind of the risk and says that they're foregoing free agency because they've got, now that they've got Porzingis and they've got Harrison Barnes, who probably pick up his option, that they, you know, they're just about capped out. So this was the move they made, and this will keep them out of being able to do anything in free agency.
We had Mark Stein on the show earlier, the NBA insider from the New York Times, and we kind of just asked him the question point blank. Hey, does New York know something? Because most people around the league just assume New York doesn't make this deal and clear all this cap space unless they know through some back channels that somebody big wants to play for them. And that's basically what he said. He goes, look, I don't know if the Knicks know something, but I know everybody around the league believes the Knicks know something.
Well, I spoke with somebody last night that was associated with the Knicks for several years. And he told me, listen, there's no way they make this deal without knowing that they've got one of those guys coming. There's no way. You don't make that deal. And the guy I spoke with had been associated with the Knicks for a while. So believes totally that they know that they've got something, one of those guys, at least one of those guys coming.
A lot of people think it's Kevin Durant. There's been a lot of dot connecting going on. There's GM for the Knicks was part of the front office that drafted KD with Seattle in the day. KD's agent is apparently a big New York native, a lifelong Knicks fan. There's even some belief, Sam Amick from the USA Today, it wrote a story about it when she said there's growing concern from rival teams that the Knicks have promised Durant's agent a job once this all settles down because he's such a Knicks hawk.
Are they going to be able to pay him more than the agent can make on his own?
I don't know.
We've seen agents go into the business.
Sure.
But that is kind of, that's almost wacky, like college basketball wacky.
Right.
Like, I'm going to hire the coach of a high school team because I want his kid to come play with me.
And then now there's Kyrie Irving because these loud whispers over the last couple of days that, hey, he might not re-sign long-term with Boston, even though he had said in the offseason that he would, and even though a commercial was filmed around the prospect that he would. Now maybe, according to the rumors, Anthony Davis is kind of cool on going to Boston because he's not sure whether Kyrie's even going to be in Boston if he got traded there. So today, Kyrie happened to be in New York. Celtics are playing the Knicks tonight. And he had a sit-down with the media and was asked point blank if his mindset has changed on re-signing with Boston.
At the end of the day, I'm going to do what I feel is best for my career. And, that's just where it stands. And my focus this season is winning the championship with the Boston Celtics. Obviously we had goals coming into the season, and the primary goal is to win championships. So that's where my focus is.
Has your mindset shifted, though, in regards to re-signing with Boston, like the announcement?
Ask me July 1st.
That's the line going around the NBA today.
You know what? He's earned that right. I mean, the CBA allows for this. He's earned the right to not have to give you an answer right now. Let's see how things go. Let's see how the rest of the regular season goes. Let's see how the playoffs go. Let's see how I feel. Things can change. Things can change quickly. How I feel today may not be how I feel tomorrow. Let me see. Maybe I get an inclination from a couple of guys that they're going to go to the Knicks, and I might want to be a part of that. So I don't have any problem with Kyrie saying he doesn't need to give anybody an answer right now. Yes, I'm staying with the Boston Celtics. You don't need to tell anybody that now.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell anyone that.
Meanwhile, in New Orleans, Anthony Davis met with the media today. And he hasn't been playing, obviously, because of the injury. Did you tell the Pelicans that you want to just be traded to the Lakers?
No, I never gave my representation never gave Pelicans, a destination or anything. So I'm not sure where that's coming from. Maybe the connection, with my representation. But we never gave Pelicans a destination.
So you would be willing to play elsewhere other than one place?
It's on the Pelicans.
Alvin Gentry got into a very interesting back and forth with reporters today about whether Anthony Davis is going to sit for the rest of the year if they don't trade him after next Thursday. Here's what it sounded like.
Why would you consider not playing AD once he's healthy?
Did you say that?
You wouldn't say he would play.
Did I say that I would consider not playing him? I don't think I said that.
Okay. Will he definitely play once he's healthy?
I did not say that he would not play. I didn't say he would play. I said we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Why is there a bridge to cross if it's healthy?
There's nothing. There's no more to say about it. I don't know what else you want to say.
They're trying to pin him down.
Well, he doesn't know.
And to commit to, it's probably not his decision. It's probably that decision is probably in part above his pay grade, you think?
Yeah, I think they've got to decide, one, are they going to trade him by the deadline? Now, again, in talking to New Orleans today, and I checked on the Lakers' offer if they were interested, and they told me that they're not interested at this time, and that offer will still be there. Like, that offer is still going to be there on February, what's the trade deadline, the 7th?
7th.
That offer will still be there. It's not going anywhere. So they're in no rush. They know that offer is still going to be there. They could always backtrack and bring it back up and make that trade. If they don't trade him by the deadline, then they've got to make a decision. I mean, do you play him and risk the fact that he may get injured? Now, the other thing is, too, if you're in New Orleans, Like, you're not that far out of a playoff spot. It's not like you're 10 games out. I believe you're like five and a half games out of a playoff spot. There's a few teams ahead of you, but you're not that far out of a playoff spot. A five-game winning streak, and you're right in the mix in things. So, I mean, if you're paying Anthony Davis all this money, I mean, maybe you take the risk and you play him.
The reported offer, this is according to Brad Turner of the LA Times, covers the Lakers. The Lakers let Del Demps, the GM of the Pelicans, know that one trade scenario would include Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Brandon Ingram, Zubac, and the number one pick. That's the deal you're telling me that the Pelicans are not at this time compelled to accept.
Not interested in the deal
at this
time.
Because there's no reason for them to accept it right now, because that offer is going to be there in June.
That was what I was told by New Orleans. The same offer is going to be there, like, next week, too. The same offer is going to be there next week. Like, that offer is not going anywhere. If they want to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers aren't, like, they don't have anything else that they're trying to do. They're trying to get Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
They're not trying to get anybody else.
Well, if the Pelicans don't trade him, I can't wait to see what they do with Davis. Do they play him? Do they not? Because there's a compelling argument to be made to not playing him the rest of the year.
Well, there's a compelling argument that you're paying him a lot of money and you've got a chance to make the playoffs because you're only like five games out. Why not go for it?
Yeah, they're facing one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. But the key to the Rams winning this Super Bowl coming up on Sunday goes beyond just Tom Brady. We'll explain coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. 72 experts on ESPN and ESPN.com. 45 of the 72 said they think the Patriots are going to win. 27 went with the Rams. The ratio was a little more balanced out on NFL.com. They had 20 experts chime in online. 11 of the 20 said they thought the Patriots were going to win.
I'm going with the Rams. Picking the Rams. I mean, the Eagles beat them last year with Nick Foles. The year before, Atlanta was slaughtering them before they just fell apart. I'm going with the Rams.
All right. Jordan, who are you going with? Who you got?
I want to pick the Rams, but I'm picking Patriots.
Do it. Pick the Rams.
No. Sarah, who you got? I don't think Sarah's listening to something else on her headphones. She must be. That's okay. I know you were listening to something else. Who you got in the Super Bowl? We'll get your pick later. We'll get your pick later. She's scrambling around in there trying to figure out what's going on.
I couldn't hear you.
No, that's okay. I know you were in there working, doing important stuff. Who you got in the Super Bowl?
Well, same deal as earlier. My head says Patriots, but my heart says Rams.
Make a pick.
Rams.
You're going to pick the Rams?
Sure.
Okay. I'm picking the Rams. I think the Rams will win.
I got the Patriots
winning. I honestly think the Rams are going to win.
So it's like split pretty much right down the middle around here, too. Got the Patriots winning this game. The prevailing thought is that it's all about pressure on Tom Brady, right? The prevailing thought is that...
The pressure on him.
The pressure on him.
Pressure.
I don't mean pressure.
The other
like,
pressure doesn't seem to faze him.
Pressure. I'm talking about literal pressure, like Aaron Donald, Michael Brockers... Dominican Sue kind of pressure.
Yeah, hit him. I mean, that's what the teams that have had success against them, the Giants, the Eagles, you know, even the Falcons to some extent. I mean, they beat him up pretty good. They sacked him. They hit him. They made him very uncomfortable in the pocket, and he didn't play that well. So, you know, that's the blueprint to beat him, but he's figured that out too. You know, he knows that's how teams want to beat me, so he knows how to combat that.
I mean, pressure can form in many different ways. I'm looking at this Pro Football Focus stat right here, and it suggests that 40% is the cutoff. And here's what I mean by 40%. Percentage of dropbacks under pressure. And Pro Football Focus looked at all of Tom Brady's Super Bowl appearances, and it was pretty simple for them. When that number, percentage of dropbacks under pressure, is under 40%, he wins. When it's over 40%,
he loses.
And it's right down the line. And along those lines, the LA Rams in 2018 pressured the opposing quarterback on dropbacks 38.5% of the time. So real close to 40.
Well, Wade Phillips he had 2 weeks to prepare too, okay? Belichick had time, McDaniels had time, but Wade Phillips had 2 weeks to look at this Patriots team and try to figure out, okay, you know, how do I devise a game plan with all the talent that they have? And they added Brockers, and they added Tlaib, and they added Marcus Peters, and they added Ndamukong Suh. They added all these players, and it got them to the Super Bowl. I mean, they had a great offseason. I mean, a great – think of all the players that they added. And even late with C.J. Anderson, my God, they had a ton of great hits, the Rams did, to get him to this point. And they don't have this – I saw something with Super Bowl experience, you know, all the experience of the Patriots players combined to the Rams. And I'm sure that counts for something. But I just think that the Rams have the X factor is Aaron Donald. He is the best defensive player in the National Football League. He's the best.
Yeah.
And if he, you know, and there's a stat that backs this up. If he has two sacks in a game, they're 9-0. So if he gets two sacks, they're 9-0 in games that he has two sacks. They don't lose when he gets two sacks. So, I mean, it is.
It's just a question if he can get two sacks.
Can he get
two
sacks?
There's so many games behind the game going on in this one. I mean, I read a great, like, prediction piece today that said you kind of have to look at it this way, because Tlaib was hurt for a lot of the year, and Peters wasn't playing that great for a lot of the year. Wade Phillips played a lot of zone defense for a lot of the year. But now that Tlaib is back healthy, and now that Peters would appear to be playing better, do they go to more of a man-to-man? Because the man-to-man can disrupt, especially that press coverage at the line of scrimmage, can disrupt the timing that Brady's got with his wide receivers. And if you do that, he might have to hold on to the ball for a split second longer, and that might allow Aaron Donald to get his two sacks. That might allow Adamakin Sue to get the pressure. The other thing, something gets so overlooked with the Patriots, is their run game. It's been fantastic during
with
the
Sonny
postseason.
Michelle, it has been.
It's been fantastic. Now, if you can get that established, if you're the Patriots, now you set up the play action. The LA Rams this year defensively against the play action, they were the worst in the NFL when it came to opposing passer rating. So there's real incentive for the Patriots to get their run game going and then start killing the Rams with the play action, because then Tom Brady is going to have that split second with the play action to be able to get the ball where he wants to go. It's going to be a great chess match. The Wade Phillips versus Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick chess match is going to be probably the most fun thing to watch all day long.
You know, I will say this, even if the Patriots lose the Super Bowl, I mean, it's because I've had some people, does this do anything? That doesn't do anything to Brady.
No.
Now, if he loses another Super Bowl, like because he lost two to the Giants, he lost to the Eagles. If he loses another Super Bowl, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. He's won so many and he's been to so many. His legacy is cemented. It's sealed. A win just adds to it. A loss doesn't hurt it, detract from it, take anything away from it.
Yeah, somebody wrote a story about that. I'm kind of looking at it right now. He would be, if he loses, it would tie him for second all time in NFL history for Super Bowl losses.
But how many? But he's been to.
He's been to 9 of them, right? But he'd be second, and the three players who lost,
so he'd be five. 5-4.
He'd be 5-4.
5-4.
Yep. He'd be 5-4. Right now, it's 5-3. But his, you know, and the like the Joe Montana never lost one argument. Well, Joe Montana
didn't go to as many.
Joe Montana played. Tom Brady's played in 13 conference championship games. Montana was in half that. And Brady's playoff win percentage is still better than Montana's. It's better than Bradshaw's. He's been to more conference championship games than Bradshaw. I mean, it's, you know, so what if he loses again? I mean, it doesn't change anything.
I mean, if Steve Young wasn't sitting behind him, they would have held on to Joe Montana. They might have won one more Super Bowl, maybe two with Joe. Joe was a great quarterback. There's no doubt about it. I mean, he was every bit as good as Tom Brady. But, you know, when you compare the two, I mean, you have to put, and I always wanted to put Joe one because I hate the Patriots and I hate Brady. But Brady's been to so many. It's like you just, I mean, nobody's been to that many. And I say that to my wife, Joe Montana never won a Super Bowl. Yeah, because he didn't go to as many as Tom Brady. Maybe if he would have played a 9, he would have lost some too.
Yeah. Have you subscribed to the Burns and Gambo podcast? Subscribe right now on your iPhone or your Android. You'll never miss any of the show. We'd be happy to digitally deliver it to your device every day. You can listen whenever you want on the Burns and Gambo podcast. It's brought to you this week by AutoNation Chevy. He says that a decision on his future is coming soon, but that has not stopped one NFL analyst from doing what we wondered would happen. He's predicting Kyler Murray to be the first pick in the NFL draft. You'll hear it next on the Burns and Gambo show.